listening to a Clovis Hills podcast. You're about to hear from one of our teaching pastors. I want to encourage you, go download the Clovis Hills app where you can listen to sermons, you can give, you can do the growth group questions. They're on there too, and you can study God's word together. God bless you guys, and go be the church.
Good morning. I want to say good morning online. Man, it is great that you are joining us. It's great to have all of you here in person. It is awesome, actually, to interact with people. It's such an awesome thing, and I'm very thankful for that. And I also I want to say good morning to all of you at our Old Town campus and Pastor John. He's doing a fantastic job leading the charge there, and we're just seeing God move in powerful ways already at our Old Town campus. Man, the Artisan Fair yesterday, I went by in the afternoon. There was still a lot of foot traffic. It was a fantastic event. A lot of life and activity on that campus. So we are just thrilled about how God is moving in Old Town, and we get to be a part of that, and so grateful for. I want to say, yeah, we don't take or receive an offering, but all of you that are continuing to give, I want you to know that it is resourcing the mission of Clovis Hills Church, not only here, but all over the state and across the world, and I thank the Lord for that. And so this morning, I get the privilege of continuing this series entitled Sinners, Saints, and Sufferers. And I really believe that it's easy for us to be connected to the sinners and the sufferers part of this series, sinners and sufferers. This morning, I want to focus on saints. I want to encourage you. All your promises are yes and amen is what we just sang. All your promises are yes and amen. And I want to give you a one-point sermon this morning, the promises of all promises, that I hope is going to really capture your heart in such a way that you see the love of the Father and the love of Jesus for you and his intimate desire to have a relationship with you, and you want to connect with him in an even deeper and intimate way. The truth of the matter is, listen, if you don't want to, that's okay. That's okay, because guess what? The rocks will cry out. Listen, God doesn't need you to worship him. He'll cause the rocks to cry out. It's an invitation just for you to participate, because that's his heart's desire. He wants you to join him. Hey, last service, I got to dedicate my 18-month-old youngest grandson, and let me tell you something. I'm watching. The boy has got rhythm. During worship, he couldn't help himself. He's got it going on. And then he starts clapping, and I'm like, he got me inspired to engage in worship. I'm telling you, if you won't, somebody will. Yes. The rocks will cry out. So this whole series really has been predicated on a revelation that came from Jesus himself. It's as though he peeled back the curtain and he revealed to us his heart in Matthew chapter 11, and if you've been with us in the series, you've heard this verse over and over where Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is gentle and easy, and I am gentle and humble and in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You'll find rest. Oh, how we need rest for our souls. I had no idea. You know, isn't it true? We have, how many, give me an amen if you have very little control over your life. Amen. Okay? Some of you didn't amen because you're just not with me yet, but you will be by the time I'm done this morning, okay? Listen, there's so many things that are outside of our control. But God is still on the throne, and God is in control. And I had no idea that God would be orchestrating events to prepare me to show you and lift up Jesus to you this morning. 9 days ago, it's just another day. It's another Friday. And I get a text from my mom's residential care facility. And they said, hey, she's not doing well. We need to transport her, get paramedics here. We've got to take her to the hospital. Now, here's the thing. I just want to say, most of us don't like the thought of anybody going to a hospital right now. Amen? Yeah. really, so my main concern was I did not want my mom to get trapped in a hospital without having access to her. And I will see, I'm going to take this note. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're not praying for people in the medical community, those caregivers, those frontline, first line responders, the administrators, security guards at hospitals, because they have to navigate difficult situations with people that want to get in that aren't allowed in. I'm just telling you, listen, when a chaplain in ER comes into our room and experiences Jesus, and she asks me, would you pray for me? It gives you a sense. She said, it's been a hard day. We need to pray. We need to pray. But I had no idea. I had no idea 9 days ago that really for my mother, it would be the beginning of the end of her earthly journey. Just 24 hours later, after she's brought up to a room in room 364, west end of St. Agnes, I had no idea that I'd be sitting with my brother, having an animated conversation about hiking trails over on the Central Coast. And I'm going to tell you, true confession, both of us looked over at the bed and Mama wasn't breathing. And my first thought was, shame on us for not being watching her take her last breath. And then I had an instantaneous thought, and it was, no, that's just like my mom. She heard her two sons having an animated conversation. That's the last word she heard here on the planet. It's as though she said, listen, I'm not going to interrupt you boys. I'll see you later. Wow. Now, here's the thing. Why am I so passionate about this? Because my mom, 82 years, 6 months, and 24 days here on planet Earth. I agree with Charles Spurgeon's brother Thomas. He nailed it when he said, our mother was the starting point of all the greatness and goodness of any of us by the grace of God ever enjoyed. I'm going to tell you right now, and I testify, my mom was my hero. My mom was the spiritual anchor of my life. I stand on this platform because of a godly mother and a grandfather and a grandmother that prayed for me every day. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning. Listen, all I knew is my mom represented Jesus in a way. I'm not making this up. She was my role model. I want to be like my mom because my mom loved Jesus passionately. She pursued him passionately. She loved him and she loved her family. And so, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. People have been asking me, how you doing, Mitch? I said, I'm great. Man, I'm heavy-hearted, but I'm great. My mom is more alive than she's ever been. My mom is experiencing, in the fullest sense, the presence of Jesus. She can talk to him face-to-face. It's all she ever wanted. It's what she longed for in her heart. And so what a perfect setup for today, Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. We remember it like when I was a kid, I didn't even know what they were called, palm fronds. Is that right? Palm fronds, right? You get out and they're waving them, throwing blankets down and stuff on the donkey, coming down, doing all that deal. I never really understood it. All I knew is they're lifting them up like, hey, and they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But all I can think about now that I understand what I understand is how committed Jesus was to finishing his earthly mission. Because really today was the beginning of the end for Jesus and his earthly mission. It says in Luke, I love what Luke says. He says, as the time approached for him, Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, he resolutely set his face toward Jerusalem. You know what that means to me? That means that Jesus knew exactly the mission that he had come to accomplish. And he was laser focused on accomplishing that mission, and nothing would detour him. Nothing. We think about all this celebration and everybody getting excited about Jesus coming down. And yet in Luke 19, as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, Luke records he wept over it. He wept and said, "Even you, if you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but it was hidden from your eyes." Jesus knew the very people that were hailing him as king would soon be shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." So why is this so important? It's important because there's something that Jesus said earlier in the Gospel of John, in John's Gospel. This is going to be awesome. You're not going to believe that this can happen. This is going to be a one big idea sermon and a one verse sermon. Do you even believe that can happen? A one point and a one verse sermon. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 6. I just want to set it up, the context and the writing, in this way. The context is, this is a very pastoral perspective from John the Apostle. He was a pastor. I get that. I am one. So it's a pastor's heart when he writes. The other thing I love about John's Gospel is the detail with which he focuses on the Passion Week. Pastor Sean mentioned that last week. There's multiple chapters that are set up. Really, a better part of the Gospel is the Passion Week on through the resurrection. It's gorgeous, man. It's just beautiful pastoral writing. And the perspective is one who has not only seen the resurrected Jesus, but he has experienced, listen to this, he has experienced the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in his own life. And so if you would, just old school like, I want you to stand for the reading of God's word. John chapter 6, I'm going to read more than one verse, 34 to 37, but get your highlighter out, your underline, whatever you do. Verse 37 is the key. "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe me. All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. I will never cast out. I will never, ever cast out." You may be seated. I love in the King James Version. How many of you, like, I still have my grandparents' Bible in the King Jimmy Version. It's awesome. Nobody speaks like that anymore, but the Bible is awesome to me because it's my grandpa's. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Even more importantly, in the Greek, the double negative, it's "I will most," this would be the best rendering, "I will most certainly never, ever cast out." So here's your big idea. If you fill in, highlight, if you want to know the point of this sermon. You know, I have enough adult kids, sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, they might ask me, "What was the point?" Here is the point of the sermon. It's about the promise of all promises. And that is, Jesus promises this: those who come to me, who believe in me, listen, I will never cast out. I will never, ever cast out. Now, I don't know about you, but listen, theologians, they've talked about this for centuries. This is heavy manna. This is heavy manna, man. You got to dig deep to really understand this. And here's the thing. They talk about things like eternal security. Like, can you actually know that you are saved? Some refer to it as the perseverance of the saints, like that God gives us the will to persevere to the very end. What I want to talk to you about this morning is the perseverance of the heart of Jesus. I want to talk about the one named Jesus who will do what he said, and he will deliver on every promise he has made. And there is no greater promise than this promise. And it's for those who will call out to me, those who will believe in me, I will never cast out. My mom and dad raised me. My mom used to always tell me, son, never say never. How many of you said that before? Never say never, right? You never say never. I'm not telling Jesus that. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, he said it himself. I will most certainly never, ever cast out. Have you ever just camped on a verse? Have you ever just camped on a verse and you couldn't shake it? You just couldn't shake it. I can't shake this because I need to believe this morning. I need to be as confident as my mom was that this verse is true. That I'm a child of God. And whether I go today or I go tomorrow, I go 10 years from now, I know with absolute certainty that Jesus is going to finish what he started. He's going to bring me home. Now listen, I want that for you, but more importantly, Jesus wants that for you. I'm just a messenger. I just want to lift up Jesus. I just want to get out of the way so you can see him because he's irresistible. You can't gaze into the face of Jesus and not be warmly drawn to him. You can't be presented with the Savior and not say, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. I know that because I've soaked on this one verse, verse 37 of chapter 6, for weeks and weeks and weeks. Let me just try to quickly unpack it for you, okay? Just one verse, just one verse, just word by word. You know, sometimes you just need to stop and think. Ponder. I'm too much of an activator. I don't want to ponder. I don't even like the word. But God is a God of revelation. God is eager to reveal himself to those who are wholeheartedly seeking him, who actually stop to listen. And I'm just asking you to listen to this one verse and every word that Jesus said, all. That's how verse 7 starts, all. Not some, not a few. No, he says, rescue is certain for all who come. All. Security is certain. We can have confidence as sons and daughters that when God calls us to himself and Jesus invites us into a relationship with him, like we used to tell our kids, just invite Jesus to come into your heart. My heart. Christ's home. And you know what happens? He comes. He comes and takes up residence. Listen, I know that to be true. Jesus has taken up residence in my heart. The glory of God is in this place right now. Whether you acknowledge it or not, the ministering angels are swirling around, eager to draw people into a relationship with the Son. I saw a piece of heaven 9 days ago. I saw it with my own eyes. The glory of the Lord in that room, ushering a saint home to be with Jesus, to see him face to face, a race well run. The longing of the heart of the Savior for all. This next thing says, all the Father. The Father. Listen, the Father is involved in this. I thought Pastor Scott did a brilliant job a few weeks back of reminding us, depending on our relationship with our earthly parents and our earthly father, sometimes that can either jade our understanding of a heavenly father, or it can accelerate and help us understand the love of the father. But nevertheless, the issue is this. It's the father's loving initiative that brings us to Jesus. The father is the initiator of this purposeful plan to send his son. God's character is not inconsistent. It's the same in the Old Testament and New. His plan, his purposeful plan is unfolding, and he's the one that initiated this plan. I love what John wrote later in one of his letters, 1 John 3:1, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. We're children of God. Born not by natural descent or a man's will, but born of God. God initiated this, the Father. And it's not only that, all the Father, but all the Father gives. He gives. You know God is a giving God. I'm sorry, do you know God is a giving God? God is a generous God. He lavishes goodness and mercy and grace on us, grace upon grace. I shouldn't have done it, but I've been receiving all these beautiful cards, all these beautiful cards. Many from some of my mom's most treasured friends, some that she's known since childhood. Others from those that she's known in her adult life and loved so well. Some of them don't even know Jesus yet. But they've had a 10, 20, 30 year friendship with my mom. And to a point, every one of them has said, the most unbelievable woman I've ever met. And here's the thing, my mom was just pointing people to Jesus. My mom was just pointing people to Jesus. She was just pointing people to Jesus. She was just praying people to heaven, just praying them to heaven. I'd see her, my mom was an early riser. She's the one that infected me with the sickness. My mom would get up at 2:30, 3 in the morning. She would crack that Bible open and she would read the Word of God and then she would pray. And she would pray. She would pray for her children. She would pray for her 16 grandchildren eventually, her 14 great-grandchildren. She would pray and pray and pray. God is a giving God. All the Father gives will come. You know what I love? Here's the thing. Wherever you are in your journey, you could be, in Shawshank Redemption terms, the most obtuse person in the room. Look that up. It's a great word. It doesn't matter because Jesus is irresistible. I don't care how resistant you are. I don't care how obtuse you are. I don't care how lost you are. I don't care how distant you feel from God. It doesn't matter because God says all the Father gives will come. His purpose will not be thwarted. It will not be frustrated. Listen, God is not COVID-like. He doesn't pivot all the time. Pivot, pivot, pivot. God doesn't pivot. God's purposeful plan is unfolding every day, every hour, every moment. The interesting thing then, Jesus says, and whoever comes, listen, let's not negate this fact. We get to choose to participate or not. We have something that the Bible calls free will. We are not robots. We are not robots. We are not puppets with strings. That's not how God operated. He operated in a way that created us to long for a relationship with him. Our souls can only be satisfied in him. But Jesus says, whoever comes, here's what I know. All of you are welcome to the table. All are welcome to the table. Some of the funnest stories I've been telling in the last week and a half has simply been this. All of the gatherings my mom had the gift of hospitality. We had holidays, would have 40, 50 people at our house, mostly family, some friends, always strangers. My mom would find somebody that didn't have a place to go, somebody that was not going to be with somebody on Christmas or Thanksgiving, and they would come to our house. I felt like we needed name tags. It's because my mom wanted to see people come to Jesus. She had a longing in her heart. Yeah, so whosoever comes to me, Jesus said, comes to me. I don't know why, but this just caused my heart to explode. Because we don't come to a set of doctrinal beliefs. We don't come to church. We don't even come to the gospel. The gospel's a message. We come to a person, and his name is Jesus. All I can do this morning is lift him up. I don't lift up a creed. I don't lift up empty words. I lift up the bread of life, the one who said, I am the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me who believes, I will never, ever cast out. I will most certainly never, ever cast out. So I just want to say, I'll be totally transparent with you. What could ever keep you from coming to Jesus? What in the world could ever cause you to not want to come and respond to his invitation? What in the world could hold you back from that kind of security, that kind of confidence? I was thinking about my shrink friend this week and all the books that he gave me to read on attachment theory. And he wanted me to understand just the dynamics of human beings and the attachment that a mother has to children. Just attachments, the attachments we have to each other. And here's the thing, man, I'm an alpha male and I'm a mama's boy. Okay? And what I mean by that is this: a treasure, a deep attachment to my mom. But here's what I can tell you: that attachment is weak and thin compared to the attachment I have to Jesus. Because when Jesus does something, it's final. It's down deep to the core. My mom was a saint, but she was a flawed woman just like you and just like me. She didn't have a perfect life. So I want to say with Dane Ortlund, the author of Gentle and Lowly, perhaps fallen, anxious sinners, We tend to be limitless in our capacity to perceive reasons for Jesus to cast us out. We are factories of fresh resistance to Christ's love. And all I'm saying this morning is, don't be a factory of fresh resistance to the invitation of Jesus. He came. He died for you. The Father raised him to life on the third day, which we'll be celebrating this coming weekend. But listen, I don't want to wait till next Sunday. Today is the day of salvation. This is the hour. The hour is now. And so I want to invite you to close your eyes, bow your heads.